Diamonds are forever. Some taglines and slogans are so good they become legendary. That one has been around since 1938. Just Do It did it for Nike. Just Do It was introduced in 1988 and is given credit for taking a struggling tennis shoe company and making it what Nike is today, one of the most successful companies in all the world. Other memorable taglines. I'm sure you're thinking of your own. Perhaps one of them is Avis's, "We Try Harder." M&M's, "Melt in your mouth, not in your hands." And then there's Allstate Insurance's, "You're in good hands with Allstate." The Seattle Seahawks have opted for bigger, faster, stronger, louder. I don't know, it's working for this year, but I don't think it's got much of a chance of being legendary. The benchmark for legendary is 20 years. 20 years of continuous use. The United States Army achieved that. From 1980 to 2001, they had this tagline, "Be all you can be." Since 2001, they've had two taglines, Army of One and Army Strong. I don't know about you, but I think they should have probably stuck with "Be all you can be." I think that probably had another 20 years or more. Be all you can be, like Just Do It and Try Harder. Brim with that attitude that captures the American spirit. One of what? Defiance and determination. The very thing that is coveted by both women and men. I want to be who I am. I want to make a difference. I want to be all that I can be. Well, here is your chance to be all that you can be. To be all that you can be is to be your baptism. Be your baptism. Be all your baptism can be. When Jesus came to John in the River Jordan to be baptized, John was reluctant. Thought he should be baptized by Jesus, but Jesus said, "No. For right now, this is what we need to do." And when Jesus rose up out of the waters of the Jordan after his cousin John baptized him, the evangelist St. Matthew tells us that God's Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, and then a voice from heaven was heard to say, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That endorsement, that tagline is yours as well as Jesus's. For when you were washed in the waters of holy baptism, you became Christ. He was in you and you are in him. And here is the tagline. Here is the slogan for all the baptized. You are my daughter. You are my son. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. When Jesus received that endorsement, there was no turning back. This was his first public appearance. Up until that time, we can only assume he was learning the trade of his father, that of a carpenter. But on that day, in the waters of the Jordan, when he was baptized by John, there was no turning back. You are my son, my beloved. Neither you or I can turn back from our baptism. Diamonds are forever, baptism is forever. Be all that your baptism can be. All of us have probably had at least one moment in our lives, if not 10 or more, where we knew instinctively, intuitively, that we cannot turn back, that we can never go back to being what we were. We can only go forward from this time on. And there was no mistaking it. There was no confusion about it. It was crystal clear. This is what happens to us when we go public with our baptism. What do I mean when I say go public with our baptism? Well, perhaps there was someone who hurt you in a way that you never imagined you could be hurt, hurt you deeply, maybe even betrayed you. It was a pain so deep and so wounding that everyone could see it on your face. Everyone knew it. And in this way, you were embarrassed and humiliated. And yet you, a beloved son, a beloved daughter, a recipient of God's gracious love in the waters of holy baptism, you forgave that person. I don't mean to suggest here you said, hey, that's okay. Don't worry about it. No problem. You know, I'm talking about you forgave that person. You wiped that slate clean. You wiped it as clean as if you had dipped it in those waters of baptism. Wiped it clean, forgotten it completely. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. For you just gave up the only power that you had over this person. And those around you, perhaps friends and family, thought you were crazy. Why would you do that? After what he did to you, after what she said about you, you did that? You did it because you know your baptism and the power of Christ's grace. That the God who gave up his only son, his only begotten son, that the world might know the power of forgiveness and healing and for bringing about peace and reconciliation. There was never a chance that God was going to take back his son. When Jesus got out of the waters of the Jordan, no matter what happened to him, God had given him to you, to me. Maybe one time you went public by asking for forgiveness, and thereby publicly revealing the hurt, the wound you had caused. You humbled yourself and you asked to be forgiven, knowing full well that this person may choose not to forgive you and to hold that power over you. Maybe you once went public with your faith by forgiving your enemies, even praying for them, speaking well of them. Maybe you once went public with your faith by speaking out on behalf of those who have no voice. Maybe you once went public by giving up something really important, like time at work, or something even more sacred, your leisure time, to serve in a soup kitchen, or to simply visit someone who was elderly, sick, or alone. I'm going to guess here this morning that if we took the rest of this hour, or 40 minutes or whatever we have left, I bet each and every one of you could stand up and tell a time when you went public with your faith and everybody knew it. There was no mistaking that you went public with your faith. Because I know you. And I know that that's what we do. There are those moments when we go public with our faith and everybody knows to whom our allegiance belongs. I personally don't recommend that you do that as an individual, because there are powers to be out there that will beat you up. You see, people don't like it when Christians go public with their faith. They don't like it when you forgive or seek forgiveness. We live in a world where we like to keep the score even. They don't like it when you speak for those who cannot speak for themselves, and they certainly don't like it when you speak to the powers that be, whether it is the powers in Washington, D.C., or in the mayor's office in Seattle. And people who hate it the most are academics. They hate the idea that your faith would lead you to believe something totally stupid. That's why I recommend that you look to your left and right this morning, behind you, in front of you. Those are the people you have to take with you. I know, we don't want to get involved. You know, it's like, my faith is a personal thing, you know, I'm like, you know, please don't make me do that. I just want people to like me. It's better not to say anything at all. You know, I think of my faith as something between me and forget it. When Jesus got up out of the waters of holy baptism, his first public appearance, and he received that endorsement, that promise, you are my son, you are my beloved. There was no turning back. God was not going to take him back if he got bullied. God was not going to take him back if this thing didn't go well, and it didn't go well. And God is not going to take back Christ from you. You are in him and he is in you. And when you go public with your faith, you can't ever go back. And instinctively and intuitively you know that. We all know that. The risk of going public brings fears. And the biggest fear isn't asking for forgiveness or being forgiven. It isn't even identifying yourself with those people that everybody else hates. You know what our biggest fear is? We're afraid that if we go public with our faith, that people are then going to hold us personally accountable to a higher righteousness, right? And the worst thing in the world isn't speaking up for those who can't speak up for themselves. It isn't being forgiven or giving forgiveness. You know what it is? This is what we're worried about. We're worried that people are going to think we're hypocrites, that somehow we're going to let God down by, I can't do this all the time. Yes, you can. You can be all your baptism is, but you can't be it by yourself. The only way that we can be all that our baptism is to be the church. And that will require us to do this together. That's why we have the church. If this was just about you and God personally, you don't need to be here. You don't need to be surrounded by other people who believe the way you do. You can do that at home. You can do that in the car. But if we're going to go public with our faith, we're going to need to do that as a church. And the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has done that over and over again. But many of the things it has said and done remain on shelves. We need not worry, for we have a righteousness that was given to us in holy baptism. The righteousness we have is the righteousness that is Christ's. We know a God who is gracious and loving and merciful and who will forgive again and again. Our righteousness is the righteousness to suffer on behalf of others. Our righteousness is the righteousness of giving up what we have, that others may know what we already know, the gracious love of God and a Savior, Jesus Christ. We go forth to challenge the powers that be, not with the sword, nor with promises to turn out more people at the polls. All the power we have is the power of the cross, our willingness to suffer on behalf of others, our willingness to publicly forgive our enemies, pray for our enemies. So go public with your faith. Your baptism entitles you to. You're empowered by the very one who first said of his son Jesus, "You are my son, my beloved. You are the sons and the daughters of God. You are God's beloved." The world is just waiting for you to let people know that. Let your baptism tell them. Let your baptism be all that it can be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.